Today's reading is from Genesis, the call of Abram. Now the Lord has said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot and all the possessions that they had gathered and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shittim, to the oak of Moran. At the time of Canaanites were in the land. At the time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages towards the Negev. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray together. Lord our God, we thank you that indeed we can come to the altar of Jesus, the Lamb that shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins, the resurrected Christ. And we invite your Spirit to be present today as we talk about life and some of the questions we have about life. I pray that you will bless us now in the name of Jesus. Amen. So life is a journey, a journey that is full of changes. Some expected and planned for, some unexpected and hard to deal with. A journey that is littered with problems, some easy to handle and some seemingly impossible to deal with. So the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your family, and your relatives and go to the land that I will show you. God asked Abram to make a major change in his life. He said to him, pack up everything and move. The only thing is God didn't tell him where he was moving to. He just said, I want you to make a move. So I can imagine Abram had a lot of questions, right? Well, where am I going, God? And the Lord said, I'll let you know. How long will it take? You will see. Lord, but how will I know when I've gotten there? And God said, you will find out. I mean, would you move on that basis? Not knowing where you are moving to and how long it will actually take to get there. And so for Abram, this was a major change. And on top of the uncertainty and lack of clarity, Abram was 75 years old. He was saying, God, I'm ready to retire. I'm ready for Social Security. I'm ready to hang it all up. It's time for me to take a break and just to take it easy and relax. But God said, no, not yet. You're ready for a change. And you're going to have the biggest adventure of your life. Not only was Abram old, he was wealthy. Okay, he had sheep, he had cattle, at least 50 servants. He was well established and he had it made, if you think about it. He had accumulated a lot of stuff, and this was a major move. There were no moving companies in those days, remember. So this was all on him. He had to move all that stuff, all his family, relatives, sheep, cattle, servants. That's a lot of work. And so he was old. He had a lot of stuff. And God had not told him where. Didn't know where he would end up. And yet, it says in verse 5, he obeyed and left with his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and the possessions and slaves they had acquired while in Haran. He started out as the Lord had told him to do. And it says, and Abram journeyed on by stages towards the Negev. So maybe, you know, you are facing a major change in your life. And God has asked you to make a change, and you know it. You're not sure exactly where you're supposed to go or what you're supposed to do. But you know you're not supposed to stay where you are. And you're uncomfortable and you're asking the where question of life. Where should I work? Where should I live? Where should I retire? Where should I make changes to make this relationship work? Where should I try and find a job? Where should I go to school? And you're saying, God, show me. Just show me. Show me where you want me to go and what you want me to do. And God's saying, well, no. You get moving first, and then I will direct you. And so you're dealing with a major change. Then there are times when you will come up against an impossible problem. There was more, you know, to Abram's story than just a major change. God also said to him, I will make you a great nation and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. He said, I will give you many descendants and they will become a great nation. God had promised Abram that one day he would be the father of a great nation and the nation of Israel. There was just one problem. At this late age, Abram still didn't have any kids. And his wife, Sarah, is up in years too. So she's already gone through menopause. She's incapable of bearing children. And so they were thinking, well, there's no way for this to happen. This is an impossible situation. And so God sent a couple of messengers to talk to Abram and his wife and to tell them what he had promised would be fulfilled and that this impossible situation was going to be turned into a miracle. And we read in Genesis chapter 18 that the men said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, in the tent. And one of them said, I'm coming back about this time next year. When I arrive, your wife Sarah will have a son. And it says there, Abram and Sarah were old by this time, very old. Sarah was far past the age for having babies. And she was listening at the tent opening just behind the man that was speaking. And when she heard this, she laughed within herself. An old woman like me get pregnant with this old man of a husband? And God said to Abram, why did Sarah laugh, saying, me, have a baby? An old woman like me? Is anything too hard for God? I'll be back about this time next year, and Sarah will have a baby. And so Sarah was afraid, and she lied, and she said, well, I didn't laugh. But he said, yes, you did. You left. And we know that Sarah did not believe that she would have a baby, because a woman of her age, if she really thought that she was going to have a baby, she would have not laughed but cried, right? So we knew that, no, that she didn't really believe this. But the fact of the story is, it was an impossible situation. Abram laughed, Sarah laughed, but God at the last laughed. And so Isaac was born. And they named him Isaac because Isaac means laughter. And you see, nothing is too hard for God. So maybe you are worried. You're worried sick because you don't know how God is going to do it in your life. You're facing an impossible situation. You're discouraged because you can't see how. How, Lord? How am I going to get through to my child? How am I ever going to get out of debt? How are we going to be able to afford a home? How am I going to pass that test? Lord, how can I handle all this pressure at work? How can I be a good parent and work so hard at the same time? How am I going to cope with this diagnosis? And I want you to know there's nothing wrong with asking those questions, okay? The questions of where and how. Because Abram asked those questions, and every great person in the Bible asked those questions, and there's nothing wrong with asking God the questions. There are many things on this journey through life that you will question, many things that you won't understand. So it's okay to ask God questions. But what can we learn this morning as we look at how Abram dealt with these questions? How did Abram managed to deal with the where and how questions on his journey through life? And we find the answer in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 11. It says in verse 8, It was faith that made Abram obey God when God called him to go out to a country which God had promised to give him. He left his own country without knowing where he was going. It says his faith enabled him to obey God and trust him. And faith will help you and me follow God's leading without exactly knowing where. Often we simply need to trust God just a little bit more. And it says it was faith that made Abram able to become a father, even though he was too old and Sarah herself could not have children. He trusted God to keep his promise. Though Abram was practically dead, from this one man came as many descendants as there were stars in the sky, or are stars in the sky, as many as the numbered grains of sand on the seashore. And again, he trusted God to keep his promise. He had faith that God will deliver. And it is faith that will give you and me to keep expecting a miracle without knowing how. I think faith is what we need most on this journey through life. Because faith, this trust in God, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. It's the confident assurance for something that we want, that it's going to happen. It's the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us. I don't know where to, God. And I cannot see how this is going to happen. But the Bible says to have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, and to be certain of the things we cannot see. Now the hard part, though, is that what we hope for does not always happen, does it? Not in the way that we thought it would. Because you see, faith also means that I believe God knows more than I do. And because He loves me, and because He has a plan, and because He knows what's best for me, and His where and how are not necessarily my where and how. So part of this journey through life is to be able to accept it when things don't always work out the way that I want them to. To be at peace and to continue to trust God when change is not exactly what I anticipated. Or when the destination is not exactly what I thought it would be. And when God's answer to my problem is something different from what I might have envisioned. I recently read a book by Lori Gottlieb called Maybe You Should Talk to Someone. And in this book, I came across something I read many, many years ago. Emily Pearl Kingsley wrote something called Welcome to Holland. And she's the parent of a child with Down syndrome. And the piece she wrote is about the experience of having your life's expectations turned upside down. So she writes, when you're going to have a baby, it's like planning a fabulous vacation trip to Italy. You buy a bunch of guidebooks and make your wonderful plans, you know, the Colosseum, Michelangelo's David, the gondolas in Venice. You may learn some handy phrases in Italian, and it's all very exciting. After months of eager anticipation, the day finally arrives, and you pack your bags and off you go. And several hours later, the plane lands. The flight attendant comes in and says, "Welcome to Holland." "Holland?" you say. "What do you mean, Holland? I signed up for Italy. I'm supposed to be in Italy. All my life I've dreamed of going to Italy." But there's been a change in the flight plan. And they've landed in Holland. And there you must stay. The important thing is that they haven't taken you to a horrible and disgusting and filthy place full of pestilence and famine and disease. It's just a different place. So you must go out and buy new guidebooks. And you must learn a whole new language. And you will meet a whole new group of people you would never have met. And it's just a different place. It's slower paced than Italy, less flashy than Italy. But after you've been there for a while and you catch your breath, you look around and you begin to notice that Holland has windmills and Holland has tulips. Holland even has Rembrandts. But everyone you know is busy coming and going from Italy and they're all bragging about what a wonderful time they had there. And for the rest of your life, you'll say, "Yes, that's where I was supposed to go. That's what I had planned." And the pain of that will never, ever go away. Because the loss of that dream is very, very significant. But if you spend your life mourning the fact that you didn't get to Italy, you may never be free to enjoy the very special, the very lovely things about Holland. Where to, God? Faith will help you and me follow God's leading without exactly knowing where. It may be Italy. It may be Holland. Maybe somewhere else. God, how? How am I going to deal with this impossible problem? And faith will enable you and me to expect a miracle without knowing how. And maybe Italy is the answer. Italy is the place to be. But God in His wisdom has decided the answer lies in Holland. Holland of all places. Or maybe even some other place. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, I know there are some people here today who's asking the question, where? Where to from here? I know there are people asking the question, how? How am I going to deal with this? How am I going to do this? What am I supposed to do? Unfortunately, God, we don't always know what the answer is. We don't know where we're supposed to go. But the message today is that in faith, we can continue to trust without knowing exactly where or how. That in your wisdom and your love for us, you know the plan, the journey, the next step. So may we all continue to trust in your goodness and have faith to follow where you are leading us, wherever that might be. In the name of Jesus, we pray this. Amen.